Voices Radio Network.
Franco is pretty smart, but Franco is a child. And when it comes to the day of the contest, I'm his father. He comes to me for advices. So it's not that hard for me to give him the wrong advices.
What's up, guys? Welcome to Advices Radio and welcome to 2019. I'm your host, Scott McNally, and today we have with us Dave Kalik. Yeah, Dave is back. What a great way to start the year at Advices Radio with Dave. Always good to have him on the show. We've always gotten really good feedback, too, from the listenership. So I hope that you enjoy this one. I know you will. You know, Dave and I have talked about a lot of things here on the program. And, you know, in general, a lot of what we talk about are those big moments. The moments that you are cutting down. How to get to that extreme low body fat. We did an episode of Huge as Fuck. Talked about what it takes to grow an incredible amount of muscle mass. Something we haven't talked about, and something I don't really hear on bodybuilding podcasts, is the in-between times. You know, post-cycle. You just put on 20 pounds, you pushed your nutrition, some gear, your training to the max, and now what? Well, you gotta wait. You gotta learn to hold on to this stuff. You grew a lot of new muscle, and it would be easy to fall back into who you were, you know, 16, 20 weeks ago. So that's our topic today. How to hold on to the mass that you've gained in your bulk program and how to set yourself up for the future. These are incredibly important moments in the sport. It's easy to do everything right when you're feeling great and the weights are moving easily. You know, it when you see the great progress, you feel good, you look good in the mirror. It's easy to feel motivated, but to find motivation when your hormone levels are maybe even low, but, you know, at the best TRT, you can't push quite as much food because more of it will turn into fat. You don't have the same strength that you used to, and the muscle isn't popping like it was just a couple months ago when you were firing on all cylinders. But if you can manage to do your best at this time, you're going to set yourself up to continue being better and better and better. These are arguably some of the most important moments of the year. So that's what we're going to talk about, guys. We got a much more coming up on Advices Radio. There's going to be a new Advices Radio app launched in early 2019. We are transitioning over to YouTube, so you guys can also check it out there. So much more, guys. We got new sponsors coming. I'm excited about that. We'll talk about that next week. All right, guys. Here we go. Dave Kalik, Advices Radio, 2019, episode 87. All right, guys, welcome back to Advices Radio. Scott McNally, and up next with me, back on the mic, is Dave Kalik. What's up, brother? Thanks for being here, man.
What's up, Scott? Thanks. Always a pleasure. How was your holidays, Christmas? We're still have New Year's coming up here, but how was your Christmas?
Yes. I think when the listeners hear this, it's going to be after New Year's. But yes, for us, we're in that little limbo period. Still, I guess, in the blur of the holiday season. I guess we're still there. It's all right, man. You know, it was my first Christmas single in a long time, which was interesting. But I will not say it was a bad thing, but it was an interesting thing. How about you, man?
It was good. You know, here over here in LA, we have the wonderful fucking people driving like maniacs over here.
We have that too.
You know, like last minute, people are very procrastinating. You know, procrastinating with their last minute shopping and everything like that. You see a lot of, I've never seen so many accidents like on the 405 and just people again, just driving like crazy. My wife and I, we went out, you know, we had dinner at home. Then we went to, there's like a nice, hotel like buffet that's in the area here in Sherman Oaks. And, man, we almost like two people like just violently cut us off on the way over there.
And, oh, like, God.
So just, yeah, just, but it's, you know, it's good. You know, we hung out with some friends and, you know, but a pretty much of a quiet one. We're going to go out of town, tomorrow night for a couple of days for New Year's.
Nice.
But yeah, it's pretty good. Ate well.
Let me ask you something. When we all, you know, we all deal with that stress of driving, and some areas I think are better than others, but I'll tell you what, Detroit is, it's not great. There's a lot of aggressive drivers. LA is really bad. Everything I've seen in LA, like you, the light turns green and you need to put the pedal to the floor. Even if there's another light 50 feet away, that's red. That's what everybody does. How do you, I'm just curious, how do you react to people like the guy who cut you off?
You know, I have like, I don't have the greatest temper in the world. So my first instinct is like, if we get up to red light, it's to get out of the car and, you know, come over and start pounding on the window. But,
yeah. That's what we all want to do.
That's what we all want to do. And like, you know, I've had those episodes, but, no, I mean, it's like, well, first of all, like what's really bad is when it rains here. you know, keep in mind, I grew up in New York and where people, you know, you can drive over there. People, I mean, it's crazy. There's a lot of traffic, especially like if you go to, you know, downtown or whatever, but people just drive better. People know how to drive in the rain, whatever. Over here, when it sprinkles a little bit, well, first of all, you know, you get that road slick, the initial, when the rain hits the pavement, you know, and there's like the oils from the exhaust, you know, so it does get dangerous from that standpoint, but people are either A, driving, you know, 13 miles per hour, or they're driving faster like idiots, and there's just, again, there's a lot of accidents, and sure. You just got to be patient. There's some areas that are worse. I mean, like, for example, like, you drive into Koreatown, and, you know, my wife always, because, you know, she's Korean, and, you know, we always joke about, you know, the Asian driving, but, you know, they have the people's, the insurance levels are higher.
It's a thing. It is.
It is a thing, and, you know, you see a lot of people driving around with like bump, you know, like you can tell there's been a lot of like, you know, bumper taps and everything like that. And, yeah, it just sucks for driving. And this is a high stress town. You know, LA and New York are the melting pots, you know, so there's,
yeah, I was just thinking to myself, cause you're a pretty chill dude overall, but you know, we all can get revved up, you know, in those situations. So I'm totally just like going way off the rails on that. But I was picturing a Dave Kalik, which you're a big dude. I know you call it your leftover muscle, but you're still bigger than any guy, you know, any average guy around. You're still bodybuilding size. And yeah, I was thinking I wouldn't want to see you mad, but I guess that's a whole other podcast. Yeah,
I mean, I'm definitely mellow. But I'm the kind of guy like where, you know, family, friends, loved ones, I lose my cookies, you know, I lose my shit. I get pretty barbaric. But I mean, I've been working on my temper like over the last 10 years and it's gotten better. I mean, there's been some incidents, but yeah, man, I just try to take a deep breath, you know, and, you know, just moving right along. Nothing to see here. You know, yeah. You have to bite your lip a lot over here.
Oh, yeah. You know. Yeah. No, and for what it's worth, you know, I've gotten to know you, I think, pretty decently over the last few years. And if somebody were to ask me to describe Dave Kalik, I would say he was a pretty level-headed dude. But I'm going to get back on topic here. So here was my thought. You know, we hadn't had you on in a little while now. And the audience always loves to hear from you, Dave. This time of year, here's what I'm seeing with a lot of people right now. That they competed this last season. And then they, you know, they took a little time downtime and then they hopped onto like a bulk program, basically. A lot of them, you know, they're using, you know, advanced supplementation, anabolics and everything. And they're coming up to a point now where, you know, they've milked that for what it's worth and they're going to need a little bit more downtime, you know, before they get to either, you know, another bulking, you know, continue that phase, or they're going to start shifting gears towards contest prep. So my thought is how do we deal with that downtime? We've done a lot of talking on Advices about those big moments, about the big moments of what we do going into a prep, you know, how we handle that, how we manipulate water, all the little details, what you do with salt. And we've talked a lot, a pretty good amount about what it takes to get huge. What do we do in these other points? These are not the sexy points of being a bodybuilder. These are the boring points. These are the points where you're not quite as as jacked as you'd like to be. You're not as big, but you're not as ripped. You're in between. You've had to come off, be it either, we'll say, post-cycle, or I'm sorry, post-contest, or post-bulking cycle. Let's start there. We got a guy. Now the calories have been worked up. I'm going to paint a picture for you. The calories have been worked up. You've got a lot of food that you've been pushing for an extended period of time, and you know you've reached a phase where you realize, hey, I'm not getting the returns that I was anymore, and I'm starting to get these little nags, these little injuries, and I feel like there's getting to be more side effects. I think I'm going to call this cycle quits, and so you back it down. Where do we go from there?
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of variables. I mean, let's talk about, like, you know, glucose intolerance if we're talking about pounding food. So I think what happens is a lot of times when there's just pounding food, you know, there's a loss of insulin sensitivity where, like, you know, things start becoming very inflammatory, you know, and I think a lot of the uncomfortable aspects, you know, people reach their max weight, whatever, from pounding the food in the high cycle. And I think there's a lot of that. It's almost like, you know, you hear very often, like, fuck, man, I can't wait to stop bulking and transition into, you know, cutting, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Like, there's that uncomfortable aspect. Because, again, you know, inflammation markers go up. I mean, you know, I mean, I'd be willing to bet, like, if you do, like, you know, blood panels and stuff, and you see, you know, the beginning, let's say someone comes off of a cutting phase, whatever, and then they want to go into a bulking phase, whatever. You know, for the most part, like, you would think that insulin sensitivity would be a lot better in the early phases, you know what I mean? And then as the food gets pounded and if there's insulin, you know, all that stuff, then you start seeing, like, you know, fasted glucose would get progressively higher in the morning and everything like that. And then sure. You reach a point where at the end, you know, there's the max weight, you know, blood pressure's up. I'm just painting a scenario with you.
Yeah.
There's that bloated, you know, there's all that stuff, which we try to avoid. We'll go into that in a minute. So it's almost like there's a relief. And I think a lot of the aches and pains and injuries can just be from just high inflammatory markers, you know, just from being uncomfortable, you know, uncomfortable and everything. And, you know, you get to the point where you actually feel sluggish in the gym. You know, there's a point of no return where, like, you know, if the extra 8 or 9 pounds of inflammation, you know, you feel like slack, you know, you want to go, you don't even want to train, or you're just feeling very sluggish when you are training, and you're actually losing strength in a way. So it's kind of like, you know, you're welcoming the phase of, you know, down structuring. You know, I think, like, basically, at that phase, like, let's say we're talking about, like, you know, there's a lot of gear being used. You know, I'm going to be skipping around a little bit here. Like, you know, like, blood work is really important in different times. You know, you kind of, like, for example, the end of this phase, like, you want to get bloods to see, like, what is your fasted glucose after 15 weeks of pounding high foods, you know, with, you know, high amounts of gear, you know, okay, which affect glucose intolerance levels, whatever. So, you know, you want to see that.
So let me ask you then, if you're, just to get more specific on that, you know, we'll take a guy who, say, he's been using insulin and growth and, you know, we'll say DECA and Sostanon. So he's come to the end of his cycle. How long would you wait before you got that lab work done?
Well, I mean, I think it's, like, out of curiosity, for example, like, let's say you have some degree of aromatase inhibition in place. Let's say there's some Arimidex going,
okay,
conjunction with the cycle. Let's say, you know, the person's taking, I'm just throwing it out there. Let's say there's a milligram of Arimidex every other day against, I don't know, maybe the person's using 1500 milligrams a week of test, and let's say they're using 800 milligrams a week of DECA, whatever. So you're just kind of curious to see where estradiol levels are at that point against 3 milligrams a week of aromatase inhibition with that gear that's set up in place. You know, just curious, where is estradiol? You know what I mean? Like, how well was it controlled with the above mentioned?
Yeah.
How is, you know, is fasted glucose above, you know, is it in the 90s? Is it breaching 100? Is it
so?
You know,
just, but the cycle's over now. Like, you're at the end of it.
Yes. My point is that, like, then I would want to do, let's say there's a TRT phase.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you'd want to go, let's say, 6 weeks later. It's very curious to see where these levels are at then.
Okay. You know? I got you. So if you were watching your labs through the cycle, you knew where you're at. Now you come off of that, you go to the TRT. And then 6 weeks would be a good period to kind of let things kind of clear out and balance out and then check it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Also, you just want to see basically also like where hematocrit levels are, where your red blood cells are. There's also other aspects you want to just see.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, there's being obviously like, you know, levels are going to be out of reference range a little bit, but there's being out of reference range and there's being like remarkably out of reference range.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you do want to keep an eye on that. And I'm talking about the hematocrit levels, you know, hepatic and renal function, all that stuff. I mean, you're not going to have hepatic levels should be pretty much, if there's no orals being used, it should be pretty much, you know, there are elevations, obviously, you know, with ALT and AST,
yeah,
just from intense weight training, you know, the creatinine and the bun ratio, all these things are going to be elevated regardless just of intense weight training, you know, even just with you know, people that are natural, you're going to see elevations in that if they're weight training with intensity. But you do want to see, you know, what effects, you know, the drugs are having on those levels as well on top of the intense weight training. So, sure. You know, it's just, I mean, some people, they have, you know, and there should be some, you know, cardiac imaging and all that stuff occasionally too. We should get into that at another point.
All right. I'll make note of that then. So, yep. You know, maybe 6 weeks after the cycle, you're down on TRT doses, you get all your labs checked out. And I'm sure a lot of these guys, you know, they know what is going to be out of level, what should be quote unquote out of range and what that is, what their healthy ranges are. So, you know, but just checking the other things that you mentioned then, and now you're down at this TRT dose. Insulin and growth. Let's take those one at a time, I guess. If a guy is using growth through the cycle, is that something you ever would suggest taking a break from, or is that something that you would say just go ahead and continue on with that? Or
it really depends on the individual. For example, we're talking about fasted glucose.
Okay.
So if someone at the end of the cycle and they're using, let's say they've been using GH and insulin, whatever, or let's say they're just using GH alone. Because it is different. If your fasted glucose is high, you know, if it's above 98 or if you're in the low hundreds, you would want to take a break from growth hormone.
Okay.
Because there's a loss of insulin sensitivity there. There's glucose intolerance. And we know growth hormone, especially, you know, by the way, you know, steroids themselves, like DECA, whatever.
Yeah.
That can encourage glucose intolerance as well. People, you know what I mean? You know, and so.
Yeah, we don't talk about that much.
No, but it, I mean, it does, you know what I mean? And that's one of the, you know, you get Cushing's, you know, the metabolic syndrome that's created a lot of times. So I think there should be a break. Now with the individuals who are, they wake up and they're, you know, between 65 and 80 or 85 on fasted glucose, they can go ahead and they can continue using GH. I mean, as far as, you know, using insulin with it, I mean, I think that there should be down, there should be no matter what, good fasted glucose levels or not, you know, there should be breaks from using insulin regardless.
Okay.
From sensitivity standpoints, you know, I mean, I think basically if you're going to come off, if you're at the end of bulking, you know, then I think no matter what, when you transition into a TRT phase, I mean, there should be a break from insulin regardless because you're, you know, you want to take a break from inflammation levels, but you also want to just have a break from, so there's sensitivity. Yeah, I mean, especially if you take blood, like, I mean, for example, taking blood work at the end, and if you've been using insulin and growth hormone heavily during this bulking phase, and you wake up and your fasted glucose is 100, you know, it's time to take a break, certainly, you know, from both. I mean, it's not engraved in stone that insulin has to be used during a bulking phase.
Yeah.
And actually, it's the GH use is what's going to, you know, really increase, you know, your fasted glucose. You know, I mean, if you think about it, actually insulin would actually lower it, you know, but when you wake up and there's no insulin in your system and you're fasted, you're going to get a good indication of where you're at in terms of insulin sensitivity.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So it's at the very least. So you would want to just, so the insulin can be productive when it's reintroduced later. You know, you would want to take a break. You know, I mean, you definitely, insulin is not something you want to be using year round. And as a matter of fact, when you're using insulin, I mean, there should be patterns of, let's say, you know, 4 weeks on to, it all depends. There's so many different ways of using insulin. I mean, there's like, you know, there's, you know, pre and post, whatever. There's using some in the morning with, you know, there's different ways of using it, but at the very least there should be periods of time, no matter what, where, I mean, some people use insulin just 2 days a week on high carb. You know, there's obviously, there's many different protocols of using insulin, but whatever protocol is being used, I mean, there should be breaks, there should be times when it's just not being used for obvious reasons. I mean, you know.
Yeah, that makes total sense. So you've gotten, you know, you're getting this lab work done. You're down on your TRT dosing. We'll say that our guy is taking a break from both insulin and growth hormone. You know, his blood sugar was kind of out of whack. So he's not going to be processing his food as well as he was before. And he's worked those calories up high. And he now it seems like he almost requires a lot of food just to stay where he was at. But you know, it's not as productive anymore. You know, he's going to start gaining fat, right? How do you deal with that? And I know, here's the thing. I know we're talking so theoretically, it would be easy to just take one person and say, how does this person deal with it? But I guess for educational purposes, just across the board, how do things go post cycle after a bulk when it comes to the amount of food that you've built up to?
I mean, again, okay, so let's look at the different scenarios. There are some people who thrive, who can thrive, who tolerate carbs great, who during bulking phases, you know, do great on extremely, extremely high carbs, you know, moderate protein and like, let's say lower fat scenarios, you know, some people like, you know, there's some people who are glucose intolerant just in general, growth hormone or no growth hormone, who fare better on having more partitioned food patterns, you know, a lot of calories still. You know, we always want to go for a surplus of calories, a caloric surplus during these phases, but some people fare better on, you know, medium carbs, higher protein and medium, you know what I mean? There's some people who can still without, some people just put on, some people are so sensitive to putting on fat with carbs where they would, where like, let's say they're primarily kind of keto based or gluconeogenic based during prep. And now it's time for bulking. I mean, for them, just introducing a good amount of pre and post workout carbs is enough to get the job done. You know what I mean? So depending on these individuals, I mean, some people, you know, you would need, I mean, certainly the caloric, the calories are not going to be, you know, the idea is staying lean during these transitional phases, you know? So, okay. I mean, it's hard to pound the foods during this phase, pulse bulk, whatever, but I want to just, again, I'm always skipping around, but to me, it's like, let's say there's a show in 6 months. Right. Let's say there's, you know, there's the USA, you know, to me, it's all one big prep. You know what I mean? So it's like, for me, it's like, okay, we're going to bulk from this date to this date. And then all of a sudden it's pre-con. To me, it's just all one prep.
Okay.
You know, so you want to like look at the whole picture. You know what I mean? Like how heavy and bulky do you want to do or get during a phase where you inevitably have to diet harder to lose? Like there's that, I mean, there's gaining, there's putting on weight and then there's putting on the extra 7 or 8 or 10 or 12 pounds, which is just inflammation and fat storage and visceral fat storage, which is going to be fucking pain in the ass to get off, and you're gonna have to go into more of a caloric deficit to get it done. So, I mean, if the end goal, I know this is not a very sexy answer, but if the end goal is a contest that's in 6 months and, you know, or 8 months and the first phase is, you know, higher calories, I mean, just be strategic about it. So I guess in other words, when you go into the phase where it's TRT, whatever, you know, you certainly want to maintain the tissue that's been there, or that's been put there. You know, see, there definitely has to be enough calories, but you want to be more strategic with the calories, you know, pick and choose, you know, you want to pick and choose your battles, where you're placing your calories.
Okay.
In the glucose intolerant individual who was primarily low carb and or keto or gluconeogenic during prep and who basically had, you know, basically the carbs were placed, you know, pre and post, you know, for energy and recovery, you know, you'd want to kind of maintain that, the integrity of that, while you can before going into prep. And again, you know, you just want to keep an eye on what kind of fat storage is happening with that scenario. Like, you know, are you losing, you know what I mean? Like you do want to retain as obviously as much tissue as possible, but you want to, that individual needs to stay lean.
That makes sense. Let me ask you just more of a personal question then to you in your own life, what you've seen with people you've worked with. Have you ever had a situation where there's a guy who's doing, you know, a heavy bulk program. He's pounding a ton of food and he's using anabolics. He comes off the anabolics and that you've been able to keep the food where it is. You haven't had to back off. Does that ever happen?
Yeah. And that's awesome.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, some people can process food differently than others. I mean, there's some people who can rip through 11 ounce servings of protein with a fat source at each meal with a good amount of carbs. They stay lean, they process through it, they're able to be ready for the next meal and eat it. And there's some people who struggle. I mean, there's some people who ironically struggle during these phases of getting, like some people, they just, you know, they're just inundated with food. And you're sometimes like, man, we have to back off on the calories. I just feel like I'm having trouble for the next meal. You know, you always want to be ready for the next meal. Mm. So, I mean, there's some people who can tolerate, who can basically maintain the same caloric structure when they're bulking and then going into your T phase. Like they can still process the foods. They're still hungry and they're still ready for the next meal. But a lot of people I see, like, it's actually harder for them. You know, I mean, like sometimes off season or bulking can be just as difficult as pre-contest, and it's difficult in a different way. It's like having to pound a lot of food. I mean, there's some people who really do need a lot of food to grow.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes, I mean, and the food has to get down, and it's hard, you know, choking down all that food, you know, it's funny because those individuals, you'll find they have an easier time, ironically, during prep because they're hungry for the next meal.
Yeah, that's me. That's the way I am. I have a hard time in the off season, but once you get me dieting, I'll actually begin to eat more, you know, as I progress.
Yeah. And then like, so what you find in that situation is those are the guys, people like you, those are the guys who actually, when they're prepping, they're not quote unquote like suffering as much because they're like, okay, I can eat. I'm ready to eat. It's usually the people who can, you know, in the off season or the bulking, whatever, who can get down all that food, who could actually neck down and choke down all that food.
Yeah.
And then it's prep time and then it's caloric deficit time. And then they're like, fuck, man, that's where the suffering or starving, can't wait for the next meal kind of situation comes, you know?
Yeah.
So again, we're dealing with like so many different, you know, different types of individuals. And there's some people who are mid-range, you know?
You mentioned being ready for the next meal. You've said that, you know, a couple times. Do you mean that, so whether they're bulking heavy or past that, you know, into this phase we're talking about, you want people to be hungry? That's what you mean by that? Like that their stomach's cleared out?
Like the calories, you should be like in the off season or bulking, whatever. I mean, there should be a caloric surplus to the point where like you eat a meal and it's like, you're like, okay, I'm pretty fucking full. You know, I mean, I'm full.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't want to eat anymore. But, you know, there should be enough digestive integrity where the next meal comes around 2.5 to 3 hours later where you're like, I'm not starving. Because then to me, if you're starving for the next meal, you could be eating more and should be eating more. But you should be like, you shouldn't be like, oh, fuck, man, I can eat this next meal. I mean,
yeah.
It should be more like, all right, well, it's time to eat again, you know, but you should be able to get through the meal and get it down. And, you know, the conveyor belt should be moving enough where you're able to get all the meals in.
Okay. That makes sense. That's kind of what I thought you meant, but I figured I'd ask just for a little clarification.
You know, yeah, I should clarify more. I mean, there's some people who just can't get, you know, and then there should be a downstructuring of calories until the appetite increases. And then you get to the point where the calories that were previously in place are easy, like are getting to where, like, let's say you downstructure calories because you just have to take down some of the calories because it's impossible to eat the next meal. That should theoretically increase the appetite. And then the appetite comes up where then you can then go back to the original caloric structure. And then it feels like you're eating through those calories the way you were when there was a caloric down structure.
Hmm. Yeah.
So I think that you should be there should be adaptations during that process as well. I mean, it shouldn't be engraved in stone, you know, like, you know, maybe you have to shave off 2 ounces of yam and a tablespoon of almond butter from this meal to make it easier. And then once it flows and the appetite's crazy, you know, then you can actually, you know, up structure again, the calories and try to work from there.
Okay. You know? I gotcha. That's good information, because it those are the things I think. You know, you can read like, well, what should I eat and how much should I eat? These are the things. It's those little, you know, one of the phrases I hear people mentioning a lot nowadays is like metabolic feedback. You know, what's the feedback that your body's giving you? Well, right there.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Right. I also have this. I mean, like fat storage. And, I mean, there's some people who cannot or should not eat 10,000, you know, there's some people who just can't or shouldn't be pounding food in the off season. The people who have stubborn fat loss, the people who have, I'll say it again, glucose intolerance, the people who have that stubborn visceral fat that's very hard to get off during, those people are not candidates for pounding tons of food. There should be more calories, obviously, but some people really need to stay lean during phases. I mean, when you start seeing love handles happening, when you start seeing the lower belly, you know, there's like, and then intertwined with all that, the people who are very estrogenic are going to be more prone to fat storage. So, I mean, again, I know I speak very vaguely, but I mean, you really have to adjust to the individual. There's the feedback. And so you want to listen to what your body's telling you from an appetite standpoint, and you want to visually see,
okay,
well, I'm eating 500 grams of carbs and, you know, I was prepping on 250. I'm just giving examples, but I'm even with this, I'm storing, you know, like you want to keep an eye on what's happening with body fat.
Okay.
I mean, body fat, you know, predisposition areas that become inflamed during high calories, all these, keep an eye on all that, because again, it's going to wind up kicking you in the ass later when you're prepping. So again, it comes down to building muscle. I mean, we're talking about, we want to build muscle. It's not about necessarily what's happening on the scale. Some people think like, well, you have to gain 30 pounds. You know, you want to build muscle. And keep in mind that when body fat levels get too high, you lose IGF acknowledgement in the muscle cells, you lose insulin sensitivity, and then you are compromising the integrity of building muscle. Like the opposite happens, you know, where the weight gain is, it's not muscle gain. You're putting on fucking fat. You know, you're putting on inflammation on the scale. Your clothes are bigger, you walk around bigger, but you are getting fatter.
Yeah. You can look cool in the gym sometimes like that, but...
Yeah, no shit. But I mean, like, that's why I really like to use the word bulking.
Yeah.
To me, it's like, let's put on more muscle for the next show.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not always about getting heavier on the scale for that. You know, I mean, keep in mind, too, sometimes, I know it's ironic, but sometimes the leaner you are, the lighter you are during off season, you know, the heavier you can be on stage. Because you're going into a pre-contest phase where you're not having to tap into, you know, you're not having to go into such a deficit or having to do so much cardio or whatever, or so many depletion days to take fat off that's been placed there, and then inevitably going into muscle tissue, or at the very least, you know, not sustaining the tissue that's been put there during that phase.
Yeah. Now, another factor here we haven't even addressed yet. You know, we've talked about supplementation, we've talked about the nutrition, and now the training. So, you know, a lot of times you're at your strongest by the end of that cycle, you know, as long as you don't get hurt, God forbid. How do you structure training in this phase? So it sounds like for some people, a lot of people, the food's probably going to come down a little bit. You obviously don't have the same anabolic support that you had before. Probably not going to be as much fluid in the joints and everything else. But you gain this muscle that you want to maintain. What do we do here, Dave?
I'm really glad you brought that up, because a lot of people, what they do is, okay, I'm off cycle, it's just TRT, whatever. Yeah, you know, I'm not going to go to the gym as often because I'm not feeling as strong. Yeah, I'm not going to train. Some people, like, what they do is, like, here's a phase where you need to go against the grain. Like, you need to purposely make sure you're still trying to train your ass off. Like, you should still be, you know, to me, there's three different types of overload. There's, you know, again, we've talked about this, you know, there's increasing the amount of weight and getting the same reps. There's getting the same amount of reps with the same weight. Or there's taking, if you're squatting 4 or 5, 12 times, you know, the form isn't as great. There's squatting 4 or 5, 12 times where the form gets better and better and better. And to me, that's another version of overload. You know, you're, if you're causing more time under tension under the muscle, on the muscle with better, you know, with the form being getting better, to me, you're placing more of a stress load on the muscle as well. So the point is that you always want to make sure that you like, don't back off the training just because it's CRT and you're not on all the other shit. Train fucking hard, you know, I mean, because that's ultimately, it's the stress load on the muscle, which is going to keep the tissue.
Yeah.
You know, it's very adaptive. It's the same thing where people, when they're pre-contest and all of a sudden, okay, well, I'm just going to back off on the amount of weight I'm using. I'm going to go less time in between each set. I'm going to go higher reps. You know, the muscle, that the way you train dictates what's going to happen with your tissue. So, you know, make sure that when you're at TRT, that you are going in the gym and you're still training your ass off. You're still going to failure. You're still doing all that because, I mean, that's what's going to, you know, calories, you know, that's what's going to keep your tissue. You know, you'd be surprised. I mean, like, if you're eating enough protein and you're training hard enough, that's what's going to keep your tissue. You know, it's not necessarily like a huge drop in calories. You might, again, there might be a little less leverage. There might be some more, like, there's not as much, you know, volume in the muscle, obviously. So, you know, overall strength levels can dissipate a little bit, but it's more so like, I mean, you should, your weights shouldn't really, the amount of weight you're lifting at the end, you know, your end set, your max out set, it shouldn't really waver that much. Your strength levels should really stay there. You might get less, you might see less endurance, less of a pump because, you know, the volume of the muscle isn't quite there. You know, you're, if you're doing pyramid training, you're on the reps on the way up, you know, you might not be able to hit as many, you know, your overall endurance might be lower, but I mean, your strength levels really shouldn't, you know, dissipate that much. You know, you should make it a point to maintain your strength levels. And, you know, I mean, you go into the NFL combine, these guys are not on anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're doing like, you know, they do the test of how many times they can do 225, whatever. I mean, like, you know, you see, like, there's, you should be able to maintain your power even during TRT. So
I like that. I think it's a good message for people to hear because, I think there's going to be a psychological thing, you know, I'm not on anymore. And you think, you know, you don't have that in you, and B, yeah, you know what? Your endurance might go down a little bit. I found the on cycle, you've got more endurance. You can handle more sets, more reps, and sure, you probably are stronger. So if you're not your best, you're telling me that you might back down a little bit on the volume. If you need to back down, that's where you would back down and try to keep it as heavy as possible.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like, I would, like, if anything, like, the only thing that should be cut down might be like the volume. I mean, obviously the recovery is not going to be that great. So, I mean, I'm not really too big into training a body part twice a week, unless, like, sometimes lagging body parts, you can go through a phase where you can benefit from twice a week training. But I mean, keep in mind, like, the recovery is not going to be there. So, I mean, the volume can come down a little bit, but you should still be making strides at going to failure and the strength training, you know? I mean, again, as you mentioned, psychological, obviously we know that we're in some degree of the pussification of the sport where people, like, they only train when they're on, you know, we've seen it, like, oh, I'm off cycle. So they barely go to the gym. They purposely just eat like shit, whatever. Like, you know, it's these off phases where actually they're critical to me because if it's an in between phase, you know, maintain the tissue that you've put on during the bulk. Yeah, you're not going to be as blown out walking around the gym all swole, you know, but you need to train hard to retain the tissue that you've put on during the phase so that when you go back on again, you're going to revolumize the tissue that's there.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you know what, too? You hear it said kind of like three steps forward, one step back. I feel like if you can do all the stuff you're talking about, Dave, you may not look, you know, by the end of this recovery period, you might not look as, like, you know, big and round and full as you did by the end of the cycle. But the second that you get everything rolling again, you're going to be even better, right?
Yeah, it can't be said better. I mean, the point is that retain what you've, to be honest with you, you should be able to, like, because here's the deal, like, you know, you can let's going back to, let's say we went back to labs and let's say, you know, blood glucose as well is good, you know.
Okay.
And you can continue using some GH. Let's say you can continue using 3 or 4 IUs of GH during your TRT. You know, there's enough messaging there.
Hmm.
You should actually be able to even grow a little bit. Why not fucking grow a little bit during this phase?
Hmm.
Why is it engraved in stone that you can't make progression? Now, keep in mind, the growing during this phase, I mean, here's the idea. If you're making TRT can offer you enough strength to actually, you could actually still make strength gains. Again, the endurance won't be there.
I'm right there with you, man. There's no reason.
Either, but you could still, and I've seen it, make strength gains. I have some athletes who make strength gains and get PRs during this phase. And guess what? If there's some GH use, you know, provided that glucose levels are favorable in the morning, there's enough messaging where you could actually grow muscle. Fucking, why not? How awesome would that be, you know, to grow muscle during this phase? Now, it might not translate on the scale or the volume of muscle, but you're still having an impact on those fibers.
Yeah.
You know, you can still induce cell mitosis because of progressive overloads with weight training, and there's some GH, you know, you can still on a cellular level make gains in muscle tissue during this phase. And then, as you said, then you go back on, and then you said, then you're better off than you were, you know, like, so if you're really seriously about competing, like you take advantage or utilize these phases. Mm,
yeah.
You know, so in other words, go against the grain. Here's the psychological aspect of the sport, which is difficult. You know, the walking around the pumped, you know, being all jacked, whatever, there's like that, the reward center is not as great during that phase.
Mm, right.
So push through the non-reward center so that when you go back on again, the rewards are even greater. I mean,
it's kind of like delaying the gratification, putting this legwork in because you know that long term down the road, you'll be in a better place.
You know, without sounding cliche like, but a real champion will push through these phases and recognize the fact that it's still an opportunity to get better.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's why I wanted to talk about this, because I feel like I said, I feel like on a lot of the shows, and maybe I wasn't clear enough, you know, to the audience when I introduced this, but I feel like we talk about the big points. We talk about the big cut into the show. We talk about the gaining incredible mass in a bulking phase. But it's these little points that really make a big difference.
Honestly, I'll go a step further. I mean, like, these phases in between the bulking, like, these phases are critical. Actually, and you know what? What a great topic. This is bread and butter kind of shit during these phases. Again, because then you go back on again and the rest of it's gravy. So
you're talking about bread and butter and gravy. You're making me hungry over here, Dave.
But I mean, like, I mean, seriously though, I mean, it's like, this is like it's the end of bulking, whatever. You're doing bent over rows with 375 for 9 reps, you know. Now we're in TRT. Well, work on getting bent over rows at 375 for 12 reps.
Yeah.
Or work on going to 405 and getting the 9 reps. You know what I mean? Like, be progressive with your weight training during this phase. Eat all of your meals.
Yeah.
Maybe the appetite won't be as great. You know what's funny, though, is that sometimes I've seen people get stronger during these phases because they lose some inflammation weight, and they actually feel like more explosive. They feel, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but it's like going back to my temper. I found that I was able to fight better, you know, when I, instead of being really, really big, let's say if I had a fight with somebody, you know, just kind of being lighter and like, light, you know, more swifter, you feel like, I don't know, you could just sometimes you can be more mechanically inclined when you're
more athletic, right?
You're more athletic when you're not as blown up, you know.
Yeah.
And it's funny, I've seen people get stronger during these phases. I've seen people get PRs during these phases when they're just TRTing with a couple of IUs of GH.
I love that. I love that because then imagine if you, that's what we're getting at right here. That's optimal because you get to that phase and then you get healthy. And then, you know, we always talk about, and you always talk about that you don't need to use a lot of gear. I mean, if you're already there, if you're already at, you know, setting these PRs and you've now achieved that in this phase, then once you add just a little bit of something to it, you know, you could push it that much further.
Think of the effect.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, and then it comes down to, like, see, again, it goes back to this, like, we're always skipping around, or I'm always skipping around, but, you know, the abuse of compounds, you know? I mean, yeah. Then, you know, a gram, you know, it's like, again, like, I just, the point of, you know, taking the 3 grams a week of test and a gram and a half, I can't believe people, a gram and a half of Tren and, you know, a gram and a half of EQ, like, the cycles that we hear people doing, it's like, you know, let alone where do you go from there, but it's like, it's just, you know, you're setting, you're shortening, you're going to shorten your progress, you know, like, you, where do you go from there? I mean, and I'm not saying you need to, like, it should, like, the gear should be progressive where you get to a point where then you can reap benefits of dosing protocols like that.
Yeah.
It's just all, it's all one and the same. It's just like the excessive, the too much of excessive food, too much of excessive, you know, usage of compounds. And then you go into a phase like this and it's like, ugh, you know, it's, a lot of times the individuals who abuse the food, you can abuse food, yes, or who abuse the compounds. A lot of times these individuals that'll just be very lack during these phases or just eat like shit, eat like a slob, be depressed, you know, a crash of, you know, adrenals, all that stuff that you see with, you know, just imagine like a big adrenal crash from coming off all that shit, high estradiol levels because, you know, you lose sensitivity to aromatase inhibition, you know, just feeling like shit during the you're going to see more people like that, not wanting to go to the gym as much, not training as hard, missing workouts, saying, fuck it, I'll turn it up again, I'm going to go on again in 8 weeks, you know, whatever. And then those are the people you see kind of stuck, not progressing from show to show, getting worse from show to show. For obvious reasons, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. This is, I think, important stuff to cover. I didn't get a chance yet. I hadn't asked you about your guys. Tell me a little bit about what you have coming up. I mean, 2019 is basically here. What are your plans as a coach this year?
I'm kind of excited for this year because we have, you know, last year we had, my rookies, 212 guys, you know, Adam Young and, Daniel Alexander, they both cracked the top five in their first year. And, they both had incredible off seasons. I mean, fuck, Adam's legs are growing like crazy. I was out there a couple weeks ago and I couldn't be happier with the progress he's made during this off season. And by the way, he went through a phase of just TRT. He's a perfect example. PRs and squats, everything like that. He's got that attitude. Adam put on a lot of good quality dense muscle during TRT slash a couple of years of GHUs. He's got a good training partner out there, Brett Wilkin. Training. I mean, Adam's fucking balls to the walls, and I couldn't be happier with the progress he's made. So he's going to have a phenomenal year. Daniel Alexander, you know, keep in mind, he won the USA last year at a $175. He went on stage this past September in his rookie show, we cracked the top five. He weighed 191. This kid is growing like unbelievable. I just saw him the other day. I put him through an arm workout. I mean, he's going to do the Tampa Pro. I wouldn't be surprised if he's on stage at 207. Both these guys are going to be phenomenal this year.
Nice.
Dorian, coming off a great off season. You know, Adam's going to be doing with Dorian, they're going to be both doing the Indy Pro.
Excellent.
I'll be out there in a couple weeks in Denver because Gary Yuta's going to be doing a posing seminar. Dorian, the emphasis this offseason was back. And he went through a phase where he was hitting back twice a week. I mean, he's tons of PRs with bent over rows, with rack deads and everything like that. His back is unbelievable. It's a different back. You know, he's got
really
rhomboids, everything jutting out. Yeah. And that's scary. I mean, Doring with a complete back. Yeah. He's somehow managed to get his legs and his legs are bigger. His chest, everything he's been getting, like, so he's been getting tons of PRs using the term PR a lot today, but he great strength increases, whatever. And he has just a lot more raw tissue. He's been there's been a lot of abdominal work this off season, so we've got really good midsection control. So he's going to be a scary package. We have badass. Our physique guy, Ronald Gordon, you know, the guy who won the overall at North Americans.
Yeah, he looked great there.
Yeah, he's having a really good off season. He's going to be scary once he gets up there. You know, it's
does he have a plan? Does Ronald have a plan for this year, or are you guys going to keep going?
I'm not sure when which show he's going to be doing. If anything, it'll be towards the end of the year. But right now, he's just having a good phase, just a good off season phase. Yeah, man. So I really wanted. I'm also really excited for Jonas Giatrus. You know, this super heavyweight.
Yes, we had him on our show. Did you listen to that one?
Yeah, that was actually good.
Thank you, sir.
Yep. So that came out good. Yeah. So he's had. He's you know we've launched all you know the off season stuff. You know, getting ready for USA.
How's he doing now? What's he looking like?
He's just a freak, you know. Speaking of the segment we just did, talking about, you know, having like, you know, some downtime, you know, just the TRT situation. Went through that, you know, now just, he's ready to rock and roll. He's,
excellent.
I mean, yeah, he's going to be, he's going to look really crazy for the USA. Just an enormous guy, you know, but I mean, structurally, he's really sound, you know?
Yeah. And, he's a big dude. He gets into incredible shape, and he's got a lot of muscle. I think the thing is, you know, it's a big class, and to be able to bring in that conditioning, it'll probably be a matter of just being there on the right day, right?
Yeah, exactly. So you know, he'll be bringing the conditioning, and he'll definitely have a lot of more you know volume and added size as well. His body just keeps progressing, so it'll be really good. I'm excited.
Excellent.
This other guy's, I don't know if you know, Steve Inouye. Steve, he's training really hard right now. He's going to, you know, he had a little situation with, you know, lower back injury. He's recovered from that. He's a hybrid competitor. He could do well in either, you know, classic physique or bodybuilding. So we're not sure. Okay. But he's training really good right now.
Steve's got a bunch of mass on him too. He's a big dude.
He's a big guy. He's just a lot of raw tissue. And what's great about Steve, you know, he has that back east training mentality. You know, it's fucking hard. You know,
that fits right in with your mindset too.
Yeah, yeah. Him and I are on the same page with that kind of training. You know, it's just you know, it's very old school. If you want to call it old school, old fashioned. But again, it's the bread and butter stuff. There we go with the food. you know, this is really what does it. So. But anyway, I'll be in Denver in a couple weeks to work with Adam and Dorian, and again for Gary Udit's posing seminar. If anybody wants to come out there, you know, get a hotel room. It's going to be it's on the 19th of January out there at Harbor's Gym, Gary Udit's posing seminar. So it should be good, and I'll be giving you updates on how these guys are doing because again, prep starts for both these guys for Adam and Dorian for the Indie Pro, which is March 30th. And they'll both be hitting a series of shows, you know, New York Pro and all that, and the Cal Pro.
Excellent.
And again, you know, Daniel's set for the Tampa Pro in August.
Okay. That'll be cool, man. I'm going to try to make it out there to the Indy Pro. So I hope that we can hook up there.
And, you know, as you guys know, Stan had his retirement show was you know, out there in the Dominican Republic in September.
Oh, that was so good, man. That was so cool. And he managed to, now that was the show that he won, right?
Yeah. So it's very cool. I mean, it's kind of storybook, you know, you winning, you know, the last pro show of your career, which is great. And again, you know, it was an honor coaching him for 10 years since he turned pro. And, you know, we have five IFBB wins together and four Olympia trips. And then to get that fifth win out there, for the last show was incredibly gratifying. And it's cool giving him, you know, me, Victor Martinez, Jonathan Delarusso, we gave him, you know, a nice plaque up there on stage, you know, for his 22 years of, you know, competing and his contribution to the sport. And, you know, there's, you know, Sand and I, we're coaching the Physique Inc. athletes, you know, we have mutual athletes, so we work together. So it's kind of cool, you know, we're having fun with all that. And so, yeah, this is a good year. It was a good year.
That's cool, man. That's awesome. Are you heading to the Arnold Classic this year?
Yep.
All right, cool. Well, I look forward to seeing you there, man.
Yeah, that we'll go to our grass-fed burger place.
Yes, yes, that's a must for sure.
Go there, sign in, wait for an hour and a half to eat, but it's cool though. But it'll be good. It should be an interesting lineup too in the men's open.
Yeah, Victor. We talked to Victor Martinez the other day, so he's going to be doing that show.
Yeah, he's doing it. You know, William Bonac, who I would imagine, you know, roll. It's going to be this is going to be a good show. The only disappointment is with the Arnold is it's kind of sad to see the 212 division not being a division there.
I agree. Yeah, I totally agree. I don't know why it happened. I spoke to Mike Davies about it. I wrote in to his show actually, and his response was he didn't know why either. He did say that they didn't get a lot of people interested in this past year. He said that.
Yeah, I spoke to I'm pretty close to Lenny Keeper. He's on the Arnold committee, and like basically, what I got from him was that, I mean, keep in mind, like last year there weren't even like a lot of entries. Usually you'd have to think you'd have to beat people off of the bad people entering, but like, you know, like, although I think a lot of people would enter this year, you know, it's funny because I spoke to a lot of 212 guys and a lot of people would have, it's funny because I really wish they could have kept it for one more year because I think this would have been a great 212 lineup. Cause I mean, a lot of people were itching to actually jump, you know, and then they found out that they weren't having it, but I know personally quite a few guys, this would have been a really good 212 lineup. And I mean, you know, I think last year, just the timing of a lot of the post-Olympia, like I think, you know, keep in mind the Arnold it's kind of a tricky time because there's a lot of shows towards the end of the year. And a lot of athletes, both, you know, 212 and open, they do these shows towards the end of the year.
Right.
And then where's the off season? You know, where's the break from combat? You know, so it's kind of, it's a tricky timing for the show.
I agree. Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
Especially for a lot of the Olympia guys, they're competing in September. You know, you got to figure where's the off season between September and February, let alone downtime, let alone some holiday family, you know, so it's tough. I mean, it's, I give credit to the competitors who have done the Olympia and or post Olympia shows segueing into getting ready for an Arnold prep.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. I give them credit.
Yeah. Well, all right, man, you know, we were going to talk both about post bulk and talk about transitioning from a cut, but honestly this turned out to be a lot of material just on the one topic, so we'll have to tackle that another time, you know, maybe toward the end of the contest season. That'd be another good one to talk about.
Absolutely. Well,
I appreciate your time as always, Dave. If people want to reach out to you, if they want to find you, what's the best method?
They can message me, Dave Kellick, on Instagram or Facebook, or they can shoot me an email at Dave Kellick, KALDAVEKALICK at Yahoo. Any of the above is fine. And looking forward to hearing from you guys. If you want to message out or reach out. As always, Scott, thanks for having me on. It's, as always, a blast. Thank you.
Absolutely. Guys, Dave Kellick, one of the best in the business. Dave, thanks for being with me for another episode of Advices Radio. I'm Scott McNally with Dave Kellick. We'll talk to you soon.
You bet, guys. Thanks. Take it easy.
Radio Network.